For churches in America to once again thrive, a new normal needs to be established. That's the key sentence for our podcast today, and welcome to the SermonCoach.com podcast. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. We're talking today with Dr. David Maines, the Executive Director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. David, are you acquainted with the term the new normal?
Yeah, sure, Dean. It's if someone's spouse dies, then the life that follows for that person who's still here, it's going to be a new normal. Your wife is gone or your husband is gone. We went through a new normal when we were told that our son had cancer. And he eventually died, in fact, died very quickly from that. So you have a new normal. You're trying to get along with all the ramifications of that death. I have talked with numbers of people who have lost jobs they held for a long time, lost their retirement. So they now have a new normal. They have to think differently than they used to think. If you win a $50 million in the lotto, then you're going to have a new normal. But the same is true if you're going to get married, you're going to have a new normal. If you don't think you are, you're in for a big surprise. If you retire, there's a new normal. New normal means something major has happened and your life is not going to be the same in the future as it once was. So yeah, I'm acquainted with that.
Okay, so something major has happened and things won't be the same as they once were. Do you think it's time for churches in America to recognize that it's not the 1850s, 1900s, 1950s anymore, and the church needs to figure out what the new normal is?
I think it's in the process of doing that. I can give some thoughts as to what new normal would be. I think sermons are shorter than they used to be because people are much more time conscious. We don't have Sunday night services like when I was growing up. There was always Sunday morning and Sunday night. The Wednesday prayer meetings are not like they used to be. There were three major times we were in church as a family: Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Musical instruments have shifted a great deal in terms of the church. It used to be piano and organ for the most part when I was a boy. It's not that way anymore. We have shifted in a lot of churches from pews to chairs. We have changed in terms of songbooks. We always had songbooks. The church where I am now doesn't have songbooks. They print the songs in the bulletin that is given. So there are things that have changed in the last, say, 50 years. I would also say that the culture has changed. America used to be a lecture culture. It's not nearly as much a lecture culture anymore in the educational system. Or say, what has this changed to? I think that because of television and movies, I think we're a storytelling culture. It's not someone stands and talks as much as the stories that are told that have a profound impact on the culture. It's also become an interview culture. If you think about television and all the interviews that go on, it's changed how people think. When, say, a homosexual is interviewed on television and that individual becomes a human being, people think differently than hearing somebody lecture about a given situation. So that's changed. Our politics has changed. It's not nearly as much an orator as it is giving people opportunity to give short soundbite answers to questions they are asked. So yeah, it's changed. I would say that as America has changed, there are countries that have changed as much. If you look at the church in China, cell groups became very important in China. So it wasn't nearly as much a person lecturing or preaching. In Africa, lecture is still a very big means of communication. Although storytelling is still a very big means of communication again. So yeah, things have changed. How much they're going to change and will have to change, that's a big question.
If our educational system was set up like the church, it would be a disaster. No accountability, just come and listen. Am I right?
Oh, yeah, I would agree. If you didn't have any grades, if you didn't have any way to say, how are you doing in terms of learning what I'm trying to teach you? I mean, the church has no accountability to speak of. The whole educational would just, it would fall apart. How are you going to tell when somebody has graduated and when they haven't? In the church, there is very little sense of graduation unless you're a youngster who goes through catechism or whatever. I mean, who's held you accountable for anything for a long, long time, Dean?
No, that's very true. There is very little accountability in the church. If we think of the church as a way of delivering spiritual formation, and probably thinking of the church as a delivery tool will be offensive to some people listening to us, but when we're analyzing the way the church build disciples and reach the world for Christ, there really isn't anybody measuring the effectiveness of what's being done. There's no measurable accountability.
Yeah. So it falls apart then.
So if you were formulating a new normal for the church, what would it look like?
Well, accountability would be a big factor, and you can get accountability. I know when we were in radio, we did the 50-day spiritual adventures, and you could measure how you were doing. So if we could do it through radio, certainly you can do it through churches. You can give assignments in churches. Ministers may say, our people don't like assignments. Well, nobody does. You know, if you want to learn how to play the piano, you get an assignment. And if you don't practice, you don't learn how to play the piano unless you're incredibly talented and figure out how to do it on your own. The people who grow in the church the most, in my mind, are the ones who are preparing the lessons and preparing the sermons, because they're putting the time in. But listening doesn't necessarily bring that same amount of growth. So if you want to get people to grow quickly, you start them preaching or you start them teaching lessons. Part of what should be in the church, in my mind, is that whole mentoring process that goes on. But there can be ways in terms of sermons that you figure out, I can tell whether you're doing what I'm suggesting or not. That hasn't come into the church nearly as much as it needs to. I was just thinking another emphasis that is changing, and it gives me an idea of what needs to change in the church. I think we're moving away from church buildings to some degree, and we're moving more into smaller accountability relationships. So if you say, would you learn more, do you think, by listening as a class member with 100 people, no accountability, or would you learn faster by being in a group of, say, 7 or 8 people with a teacher, where one person's not going to continue talking all the time? There's a certain time when in a group of 7 or 8, you're going to have to stop and say, are you following what I'm saying? And feed back to me what I'm telling you so I can figure out whether you're following me or not. So usually the growth comes not so much in these very large settings as much as it comes from more intimate type settings and through what I would call not just lecture, but dialogue. And I think that if we're going to see growth in the church, we have to think more in terms of dialogue and less emphasis probably in terms of building structures and so on. So those are all very major changes. They haven't started to come nearly as much. In fact, in a lot of ways, it's going the exact opposite direction. Once you start adding numbers and you get into a mega church situation with thousands, or even in a large church situation with hundreds, it is much more difficult to get people to move forward spiritually than it would be if you were meeting like Jesus was with 12 key people, dialoguing with them, interacting, walking, living together, and so on.
So in all your thoughts concerning a new normal for the church, does preaching become less and less important?
That is a really good question, isn't it? I think it's less and less important if it's the only thing that's being done. If the way I'm relating to people primarily is through preaching. Someone asked me the other day, he was in ministry, he was in music ministry. I'm in Chicago, he was from Cincinnati. He said, if you could do it all over again, what would you do? You know, I'm getting close to 80 years old, and I'm not going to have a full-time pastorate. But I said to him, you know, if I could do it all over again, it's not that it would be less work, but I think I would go back to more what Jesus did, and I would try to find a group of 8 to 10 people I could invest my life in. And I could teach them how I've learned, and I could walk with them and try to push them out on their own as much as I could continually and have them come back. What did you learn? And so on. And I would say at the end of that time, I profoundly influenced the life of 10 or 12 people. I think that's probably what I would do if I could start all over again. I think I have probably number-wise, because I get this all the time when I travel, I have probably affected the lives of hundreds of people in my lifetime, but I don't think I've affected them profoundly. The ones that you affect profoundly are the people you know most intimately and you spend time with, because they know whether you're genuine or a phony. They know whether you're just talking or whether you're living the life. So probably I would try to be less number conscious as far as the big numbers, and I would probably move into that more intimate, really affecting lives in a serious manner. That's probably what I would do. You know, would I, if I started all, I'd never get a chance to start all over again. But we were driving around together, this gentleman from Cincinnati. He asked me, and then he kept coming back to it, are you sure? And I said, you know what, I think that's probably what I would do. I just think that's wise. And why I didn't? Because I wasn't smart enough. You know? But would I still say preaching is important? Yes, but I don't think it would be nearly as important to me as the church made me think it was. I would say discipling would be more important to me. That's my answer. So would I quit preaching? No, and I'm still aware of what can be done through preaching, as long as, again, you know what you're talking about and you know the response that you're wanting. And then you're in some way trying to say, it's like you read my sermon sometimes, Dean. I say, now I told you 2 weeks ago to do this, and some of you haven't done it yet. You know, so I'm going back there. But even then, that's very little accountability. It's not accountability like I would have if I was sitting across from you and said, Dean, you're the only one in the group who hasn't done this. What's wrong with you? You know, are you sick? Are you discouraged? What is the deal? You want to drop out? You know, but you lose that when you get the big numbers, you lose that intimacy and the real force that you have on a life.
One of the suggestions that I would make if I were re-engineering the church is that the coordination within the church of the various aspects of the programming of the church needs to be more tightly managed so that it ties together more effectively. For example, in our sermon coach method of sermon development, we teach pastors to, after they've chosen a subject, decide what response they want from the congregation. And when I listen to sermons, and I listen to hundreds of sermons over the course of a year, not only in church, but I also go online and listen to sermons from various pastors, just because that's what we do here at Sermon Coach. And I seldom find a pastor who is actually calling for a response in the sermon. But let's say the pastor did call for a response. And let's say that the coordination of the small group ministry in the church was such that every single person was strongly encouraged to become a part of a small group. And let's say that one of the things those small groups did each week was discuss how they were going to implement that response that the pastor called for in his or her sermon. That kind of coordination would tend to make the preaching more effective across the board because it would create an accountability and feedback mechanism. I also believe that small group leaders themselves need to be in a small group of small group leaders, maybe not meeting as frequently as the individual small groups, but then those leaders would have the opportunity of feeding back what they're learning from their small groups so that the input into the pastor's development of the spiritual formation plan for that church can really have a nice feedback mechanism. I think that would be a really effective new normal for a church.
Yeah, it's not the present normal, is it?
No, it's certainly not. But God's given us the gifts and we're smart enough to figure out how to do it better. Part of the problem is we get stuck in our ways and we don't like to make changes, particularly if we already feel overwhelmed. I think many pastors, perhaps many listening to this podcast, simply feel overwhelmed in their lives with all of the responsibilities that they have. And we can come along and sit here in our comfortable chairs in the studio and make suggestions to them, and they're thinking, I don't need anything else to do in my ministry. But the truth is, we're serving Christ, and it does require a certain amount of commitment and effort, and there's really no end to the amount of commitment that it takes to be effective for Christ, particularly in the troubled world we live in today. For churches in America to once again thrive, a new normal needs to be established. We're so glad you joined us for our SermonCoach.com podcast today. Our podcast exists to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons, life-transforming services, and life-transforming churches. We invite you to go to our website, SermonCoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We have lots of resources there to help pastors do exactly what we're trying to do, be effective in our service to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we invite you to join us when next we meet on the SermonCoach.com podcast.